Yeah. A lot of Carl Anthony Towns last night. A lot of Kentucky on Kentucky violence going on, and it didn't go Scalabissiere's way. The Sacramento Kings fall to the Timberwolves in the first game of this four-game trip, 119-96. De'Aaron Fox ran into Carl Anthony Towns, took a knee to the quad area. He's got a contusion, which somebody explained to me once is a bruise, basically. So he left the game. He tried to stay in. He left the game. And I'm going to guess we'll see him, and I don't know this, but I'm going to guess we'll see him Sunday in Toronto. But before he got hurt, in 7 minutes, Fox had 2 points and two turnovers. Scalabissiere played 13 minutes, 6 points, and one rebound. And they had Garrett Temple, who nailed a three. I believe it was his first shot of the game. It was pretty from the corner. And that was it. So, again, and granted, Fox is hurt, so you have to kind of allow for that. But three Kings starters combining for 11 points. That's not going to get it done on what would it be, 4 of 11 shooting between Scal, De'Aaron Fox, and Garrett Temple. Here a lot, you know, we put our poll out yesterday. You know, would you rather be the worst team in the NBA if you're the Kings this year and get the guaranteed number one pick, if you could be guaranteed the number one? Or would you rather go 500 after the All-Star break, win 30 to 35 games, and finish somewhere, and draft somewhere in the teens? A lot of people voted. We had a couple thousand votes on that one. And I think it was 53-54% said they'd rather have the number one pick. It was very interesting. I didn't expect that one to win. But now today and last night, seeing a lot of split between the fan base. Some of them are blaming, and blame's a weird word, but using youth, how young these guys are. Maybe they're all not what they were cracked up to be, whatever. And then I'm seeing some people that are blaming the coach. And I'm curious about that, blaming the coach. I've been defending Dave Yeager all year long, and he sure as hell isn't perfect. There are definitely some things to work on. I don't see this as a Yeager issue this year. I have a tough time looking at a game like last night and going, well, Yeager could have done this and that. And I think the biggest bone of contention with Dave Yeager I've heard this year specifically are his rotations, and specifically in that, the use or non-use of Scalabissiere. And that's one that I have a little bit of a tougher time explaining. Except when I watch Scal play, he's just not playing well. So you just leave him out there? I mean, is that the answer? You just leave the guy out there? Because he's getting nothing. I mean, really. It's not terrible. And mainly it's on the defensive end. If you look at the box score itself, he had 6 points in 13 minutes on 3 of 5 shooting. That's 60% from the field. That's easy math. 6 points. Extrapolate that again. Easy math. What would it be? 26, 39 minutes. That's 18 points. Which isn't great, but isn't terrible. But I don't know what Yeager needs to work on. I don't think there's a magic trick. And I think a lot of people are confused as to what they want. Do you want Coach Yeager to switch things so that they win more games? Because I don't know what he can do there other than play vets a lot more. Or do you want him to play more youth and lose more games if that's the way it's going to be? And that he can do. That's the easier one. He could go out every game and start De'Aaron Fox. There's no easy solution. If you were to go out every game and start Willie Cauley-Stein and Scal down low, and then you were going to go with, let's say, a backcourt of De'Aaron Fox and Frank Mason or George Hill, or, well, no, put George Hill out of there. He's a veteran. And then you were to rotate in either Buddy Hield or Bogdan Bogdanovic or both. I mean, is that what you want? Is that the lineup you're looking for? Or Justin Jackson? I don't know what the answer is. I don't know that there's anything else he can do other than just continue to play it out, give the minutes. But at what point is it not the coach? I mean, it was the coach. It's the coach now. Is the coach when it was George Karl? Is the coach when it was Paul Westphal? Is the coach when it was Keith Smart? Is the coach when it was Tyrone Corbin? Is the coach when it was Reggie Theus? And then the backlash there, of course, is, well, then it's the players. Then you have an issue with Vlade Divac. He doesn't know what he's doing. I just think it's too early. I just think it's too early to make a decision. I understand the frustration of the fan base. I just don't know what the answer is other than just get through the games, put more mileage on these young guys, and see what they have. Kyle, did you get a chance to see those city jerseys? You're the guy. You're into that stuff. They're getting absolutely killed.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
They're getting killed for these jerseys.
Yeah, it looks like they had two concepts for a jersey and just mushed them together into one jersey.
Now, as I understand the rules, and I could be wrong here, but as I understand the rules, Nike designs these jerseys.
Correct.
It's Nike.
Yeah.
And you have what you saw the other day, which was what, the statement jerseys, I think?
The black ones?
The black ones.
I like those.
That goes with the court.
I like those.
Those rotate out, I think, every 4 years. Or you have the option to rotate out every 4 years. As I understand it, the city jerseys, you have the option to rotate out every year.
Thank goodness.
And I also believe that with those jerseys comes a court, because we saw that last time. We saw that with the black jerseys. Mm-hmm. You had the special black court. So there's a part of me that holds out hope that as bad as these jerseys look, if they're accurate, if the ones that were leaked on NBA 2K are accurate, and I imagine they are, maybe the reprieve is the court. Maybe the reprieve is some sort of baby bluish court situation, which is always popular with the fans.
An all baby blue court.
The whole thing. Everything. Writing, everything.
I think the top around the shoulders, the white with the red piping on these, would look great with just the white and gray and red logo.
Yeah, they put
with
the
no
line
light blue
in there, and then what is it? Is the number, did I see right?
The number below is in white. It's white with red trim on the number. That's the lion logo with the lion face area in gray, and then that section behind it in red. There's just a lot happening.
I'm going to be honest. I'm the guy that doesn't. They could wear ponchos. They could wear mink coats. I don't care.
This has nothing to do with their performance. If they wear these during a game, it's not going to matter.
And if they wear them, as the texter says, at 44-11-40, if they put these jerseys on and go 10-0 in them, well, then they're my favorite jerseys ever.
Right.
But what I'm consistently hearing from the fan base, and this is bad, is that these are the worst jerseys since the famous gold LeMay jerseys of years ago. Do you remember those jerseys, Kyle? Those were the worst jerseys. That was towards the end of the Maloof era, the years of Kevin Martin. Those gold and purple jerseys.
Oh, no. What are these?
Yeah, exactly. They're terrible. They're really, honestly, by far the worst jersey in franchise history. And you're talking about the longest running franchise in the NBA, the Sacramento Kings. Or should I say the Kings?
Why?
Because somebody thought they'd get creative.
What are these?
They're somebody who I don't imagine has a job anymore. I mean, they were terrible.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is like a Mardi Gras fever dream.
It is a bad. It was a bad time.
I need one.
You want one of those gold jerseys? I could see you wearing those.
Oh, shoot. Hey, we have a KHTK one right back here.
Yeah, we do.
That's remarkable.
We keep it around almost. It's like a running joke. We have it in a frame on the wall in our studio. Just take a picture.
It's not even on the wall. I'm gonna take a picture and tweet out where this
is. Just kind of in the corner.
Is. Yeah, it's stuffed in the corner. Kyle A. Madsen on Twitter.
Nobody will take it home. Nobody wants a part of it at all. All right, we got Star Wars tickets. We still have four more pair to give away. We got Four Down Territory next. I'll tell you right now, between now and Sean Salisbury at 7:35, you're going to get at least one crack at a pair of Star Wars tickets. Steelers-Patriots this weekend. We'll look ahead to other big games Saturday and Sunday, and we'll also look at the worst game of the weekend as well. That's coming up in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Steelers and Patriots is the game of the weekend, obviously. Give me your second biggest game.
You know, I'm going to call a penalty on myself here because I wrote that question, and it's obvious. The second biggest game of the weekend is Seattle and the Rams. That's your second biggest game of the weekend. So let's go with your third biggest game of the weekend to make this a little bit more interesting. And I think this is also obvious, Kyle. I think it's Chargers-Chiefs. First place, AFC West. On the line, could be a winner-take-all game in Arrowhead. Very interesting game. Chargers are hot. Chiefs finally got off the schneid. I think those are your top three.
Give me Packers-Panthers, Dave.
Really?
I'm going to be locked in for the return of Aaron Rodgers and see if he can actually pull off this miracle comeback that everybody seems to think is a foregone conclusion. They're going to come in and win three in a row. But if he comes in and they do win these three games at Carolina, home against the Vikings, and then at Detroit, it will be a legendary performance.
No love for Titans Niners, huh?
You know what? Not this week.
Watch, the most entertaining game this week is going to be Cowboys Raiders, though.
It might be.
It very well might be. Second down.
You didn't say most exciting, though. You said biggest.
That's true.
Does the winner of the Seattle Rams game take that division?
The Seattle Rams. That sounds kind of
funny.
Yeah,
that's what it was. The Seattle and Los Angeles game in Seattle.
Uh-huh. I think so. I think so. And now all of a sudden, dare I say, the Seahawks are in the driver's seat. They're playing the Rams in Seattle. That crowd is going to be insane. They've already beaten the Rams this year, and they're a game behind the Rams right now. Should the Seahawks win, they'll go to 9-5. The Rams will be tied at 9-5, but the Seahawks will be up 2-0 on them. So, yeah, I think in this case, and obviously if the Rams win, that's going to be a two-game lead with two games to go. So, yeah, I think this game is absolutely for the NFC West Championship.
Yeah, it would seem that way. I mean, the Rams can't afford to lose. However, I like the Rams' schedule to finish the year. I know they have the Titans left. They have the 49ers left after the Seahawks. I like them to win out. I could see the Seahawks stumbling, though.
Seahawks at Cowboys and host the Cardinals to finish out the year. Third down.
Does the winner of Chiefs-Chargers take that division?
That's a little more interesting. The Chiefs finish home Dolphins at Broncos. You would think that's going to be two wins for them. The Chargers finish at the Jets and home versus the Raiders. I think that's a tougher end of year schedule. So I'm going to say this. I think if the Chiefs win this ball game, I think they win. I think the AFC West is theirs. If the Chargers win the ball game, it's going to be damn close. And they're certainly going to be in the driver's seat for this one. But I would leave the door open a little bit more in that situation than I would if the Chiefs win at Arrowhead on Saturday.
Yeah, I think the winner of this game wins the division. That's how I'm viewing this game.
First down.
I don't like this. I don't like how this one's worded.
Yeah.
If you had to make Vontaze Burfict watch a football game, what game would you make them watch?
I wrote if you had to torture people. You went with something like that. You went with, okay, I'll go with your Vontaze Burfict one. I'll side with you on this one. Like, really, like, what game is the most torturous this weekend that you would put on a loop for people you just don't like?
And what game are they playing in hell?
There you go. And obviously, hell took the Thursday night feed, Broncos and Colts, because that was a terrible game. But as far as this weekend goes, God, there are some candidates. There are some real candidates.
Can I jump in first?
Sure.
I do not want to watch Bryce Petty run around in New Orleans.
Yeah. That's going to suck.
I won't watch a second of that game. I'm going to actively avoid watching Browns Ravens.
I'm going to say the Dolphins and Bills. I'm going to put that in there.
The Bills are a playoff team.
They are. And you know what? Hey, don't look now, but the Dolphins are 6-7. And I'm not trying to say anything other than when I saw them bringing in Jay Cutler to start the year, I didn't think they'd be a 6-7 team, despite the fact that I think they were, what, 10-6 last year?
Yeah.
They were a good team last year. Cardinals-Redskins is... See, that's a game between two not very good teams, but that game could end up being a little bit entertaining just because you have some potential for entertainment there. Texans-Jaguars, that doesn't look like it's going to be very, very fun at all. There's probably going to be a couple skirmishes, though, that'll save that one. Hey, give me the theme music, will you? Because we gotta take a break here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We have Sean Salisbury coming up at 7:35. But before we get to Sean, call right now, 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140. We have a pair of Star Wars tickets to give to you. These are run of engagement. You can use them whenever you want. They're the good ones. We're going to get you into the movie, you and a friend. Now, before you call in, remember, you got to answer a trivia question. And I'm going to tell you right now before you even call in. So let's see how well people listen. This is going to be about the books. It's going to be about the extended universe. Now, it's going to be a pretty mad, you know, if you read the books, you're going to know the answer to this question. But this is not a movie question. This is a book question for you super Star Wars nerds out there. Special nod to those who read the Timothy Zahn books, the Heir to the Empire books. You know what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then don't call in because you're going to lose and crash and burn horribly. I think
the first question when you put the person on is, have you read the Star Wars books? If they say no,
then see you later.
Get them out.
Now, granted, some of this has shown up in one of the cartoons, but I won't really get into that. We'll do this before we get to Sean Salisbury at 7:35. It's The Drive, back in three. Sports 1140 KHDK. Sean Salisbury in 5 minutes. Am I looking up at the clock? Are we actually ahead of schedule by a few seconds?
We are.
That's not going to last. You're still going to get this one plus three more chances. A lot of people are pissed off going, what are you asking a question about the books? It's cheating. It's cheating. I got a guy who's got his kids in the car right now. They're super excited. Longtime listener, Justin. Hey, shout out to you and your kids. You got three more shots, kids. Three more shots. So just tell daddy not to go take the day off of school today. So you can listen to the show.
Tell him quit his job.
Tell daddy, tell your daddy if he's a good daddy. If he's a good daddy, he'll take you for donuts and Slurpees instead of making you go to school today. No pressure. But I wanted to ask a book question of the five. We've got Last Jedi tickets to give to you. This is a book question. Kyle, you want to see a bunch of people that don't know what I'm going to ask?
I love that.
All right, here we go. Line one, is this Chris?
No, John.
Oh, John, I'm sorry. John, where are you calling from?
Sacramento.
John, my favorite villain in all of Star Wars is not Darth Vader. It's also not Darth Maul, though those would be in my top two. My favorite villain in the history of all Star Wars is a villain from the books by Timothy Zahn, who just recently started appearing in the cartoons. I will give you a hint. He is a Grand Admiral in the Empire. Can you give me his name?
Oh, you got me on that one.
Well, I can tell you right now, Grand Admiral, that is not the correct answer. That is not that's what he said. He said, no. Although maybe the pronunciation on his home world is.
Yeah.
Caller, who's this?
This is Adam.
Adam. Grand Admiral who?
Thrawn.
Grand Admiral Thrawn is absolutely, really took two callers.
Adam. Hey, Adam. Adam, are you driving right now?
I pulled over when I heard that you guys were going to do the contest. I'm in my
So you're Adam Driver.
Oh, Adam Driver.
Thank you. Bango. Well,
that's so terrible. Adam, you've read the books, I assume.
I have. I've read most of them. It's been a little while. I started reading them again with the new movie coming out to just kind of refresh my memory.
There's so many people pissed off listening right now, Adam, that are calling you and I nerds. But
haters,
listen,
haters.
Grand Admiral Thrawn is, to me, the greatest villain in Star Wars history, and I just hope and pray at some point Disney is going to make a movie. If you haven't read the Heir to the Empire series, and if you haven't read Timothy Zahn's new book that came out this year titled Thrawn, which goes through the introduction to Thrawn to the Empire, please, please do. Congratulations, Adam. You're going to The Last Jedi, you and a friend. More info at cage2k.com. Hold the line. And we still have three more chances, Kyle. No, we've only given away two.
Oh, sorry. We both held up fingers for each other for different things. He's on line two?
He is on line two.
With three more pairs
to go. With three more pairs to go. Yes, I held up three fingers. Kyle held up two fingers. And now I'm holding up one finger. Dear Dave and Adam.
Classic Thrawn move you just did.
Dear Dave and Adam, would you like for us to describe what a woman looks like to either of you? I get it. Now people are recommending.
Because you've never spoken to a girl before because you like Star Wars.
Exactly. And read the books. That's a stereotype I disagree with. See,
my girlfriend likes Star Wars more than I do.
I happen to know, and I will not say
she has an R2-D2 tattoo.
I will not say who this person is, but I will tell you that there is a King's Dancer that I am very good friend. We have a mutual friend who wanted to know if she could tag along with me in a friendly way, of course. I'm married, but to go see the new Star Wars movie because she is an absolute addict to all these movies. I think I'm just going to, give her a pair of tickets. I think I'd be a little,
Down to two pairs of tickets to give away.
Oh, by the way, we've also got a four-pack of NCAA doubleheader tickets. December 21st, Golden One Center, Kansas, Stanford, Sac State, and Portland. And we will do that a little bit later on in the program. Sean Salisbury is going to join us in just minutes. Before we get to Sean at 7:35, let me just address real quick, because I'm only going to need a minute for this. Let me just address the MLS expansion bid. I know there's a lot of people that are on pins and needles about this. The MLS board of governors, owners, commissioner all met yesterday in New York City. I don't know if there was a vote. Nobody knows if there was a vote. Statement came out from the MLS saying, hey, we met. And we don't have an announcement. We're going to continue to work with all four finalists, which, of course, is Sacramento, Detroit, Cincinnati, and Nashville. Guys, I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you. I don't know. Now, I put out a tweet yesterday, and let me clarify. So I put out a tweet yesterday that basically shouted out all the guys on the team and how proud I am of Kevin Nagel, Kunal Merchant, Ben Gumpert, Benny Aziz, Mayor Steinberg. Everybody that I know has been just killing themselves trying to make this thing happen now for years. So I put out a tweet and said I think they're awesome, and props to them, and I'm honored to know them, blah, blah, blah. Man, did that get taken as like, I think 90% of the responses I saw were like, oh, my God, something's bad. And that just kind of makes me love Sacramento that much more, my people. I, too, am with you. I understand. We expect the worst. I have gone from being insanely confident to the road Sacramento's on. I've gone from that to now that it's time, I'm an absolute pessimist. And don't read anything into that. That's just how I work. During the fight for the whole thing, I'm biggest optimist you're going to find. Let's go. Full pitch press, bigger than soccer ball, all that stuff. When it gets down to the nitty gritty, that's when I start getting very superstitious and very pessimistic, because that's just I know the city, and I know that we don't win a lot of things. And yeah, we kept the Kings, but listen, the track record isn't necessarily there. I think a lot of people read into that. Don't read into that. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm waiting with the rest of you guys. And of course, when and if something breaks, KHDK will have all your coverage on all of that. As we're chasing Sean Salisbury, who is fast. Don't get me wrong. I know Sean's going to go see the new Star Wars movie. I was watching his show yesterday, and Sean was yelling at his co-host because they've not seen Star Wars. Somebody from the 206 at Seattle says, it was your wording in the tweet, quote, they laid it all out there. Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, they did. They laid it all out there. They left everything on the field, whatever analogy. That I said that in the tweet. I mean, I don't. I'm not trying. I know I've been cryptic in the past. I wasn't trying to be cryptic. There was no smileys or frowny faces, none of that. They laid it all out there. The Sacramento MLS team has laid it all out there. No stone unturned. No lack of effort. Nothing. They've done everything they can. So when I say, if I'm to say something like win or lose, I'm proud of those guys. Well, that doesn't mean I think they're going to lose. I'm just saying either way, these guys have killed it. They've absolutely killed it. They've checked every box. I've seen it myself. While we wait on Sean, Kings lose last night to the Timberwolves. It was a bad game. They'll take on Toronto Sunday. Quick update on De'Aaron Fox. He had to leave the game with a quad contusion. He ran into Karl Anthony Towns. This is what I will guess. I will guess that if that was like a playoff game or something extremely important, De'Aaron Fox probably could have played the remainder of the game. I'm not De'Aaron Fox. He might be listening to this right now going, yeah, right. It's just my guess. But from the 916, I don't understand this. Let's take a poll on how many people in Sacramento care about the MLS coming to Sacramento. My guess is 20%. Okay. So I literally spent 1% of the show talking about it for those that actually really do care. And as I've explained before, if you live in the city, you want the MLS to come to Sacramento. Even if you don't care about soccer, you want it to happen. It grows the city. It grows downtown. It allows us to have outdoor concerts downtown instead of having to drive to Marysville. So stop hating things just to hate things because you're not a soccer fan, because it's a bunch of wussies flopping around. I get it, dude. There's other reasons. I want to go back real quick to something we talked about yesterday, Kyle. The balls. We'll talk about the balls. I want to talk about the balls, not in the sense everyone's talking about them, because we don't necessarily want to give them that press. But, Kyle, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I'm obsessed with the fact that I'm right about this. LeVar Ball exiled his sons. LeVar Ball has exiled his sons. He's getting rid of his two less talented kids. And is sending, think about it. I'm pulling my children out of school, including, by the way, UCLA, which, hey, is a fine school.
Yeah, but his kid wasn't going there to play school.
I understand
that. Shout out to Cardale Jones.
I understand that. But his kid is also the kid he pulled out of UCLA, by his own admission, the least talented of all the balls. He is the throwaway ball. So that kid probably needs his education more than any of the other balls. Now, granted, they're probably all never going to worry about money because of a big baller brand and all this, and that's fine. But
there's someone willing to pay them to play basketball, though.
It's Lithuania. Do you know, have you read how much they're getting paid? Oh, you scared me. Have you read how much they're getting paid? At most, according to people that have played for that team, at most they're getting paid $500 a month. $500 a month.
Do you know how much they would have been getting paid at high school in UCLA?
Oh, okay. Yes, that's true. They're making
zero. And I'm guessing cost of living in Lithuania is significantly less than it is in Pasadena or Chino Hills.
I would tell you, though, that the exposure they would get both here in high school and here in college, my argument would be, especially at a big program like UCLA, would mean more to their brand, shoes, whatever the hell else it is.
See, LiAngelo wouldn't be able to have shoes.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're going to find little whatever.
And LaMelo, I believe, since they released his own shoe, I believe was going to have eligibility issues in the NCAA anyways.
If you had to pick a place for LaVar Ball to send his kids if he wanted to exile them from the Ball Kingdom, A basically semi-pro team in Lithuania would be probably near the top of the list. It sounds like a joke. Like, yeah, dude, I'm sending my two sons, who are what, 16 and 18, 17 and 18? I'm sending my 17 and 18-year-old sons to Lithuania starting in January, when they've been born and raised in Chino Hills, Southern California, their whole lives. You're going to Lithuania. Now, do we really think LaVar Ball is going to be hitting Lithuania and bringing the brand out there and putting his pop-up shops in the middle of the village? I've seen, and I'm not trying to be a D-back, by the way, when I say village. Like, I'm not trying to be dumb, dirty American. I've been watching, like, interviews with the people and shots of the place they're playing. Dude, it's like a glorified, okay, it's a city. But the Lithuanians are like, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. Like, nobody speaks English. The coach doesn't speak English.
Did you read about the prominent NBA player who had played for this coach before and said after practice he would sell the players meats out of his trunk?
That's my favorite story about him, dude. The coach sold the players meats out of his trunk.
I can't imagine getting done with the show and you being like, hey, Kyle. Out to my car.
Come out to my car.
I had some nice steaks for you.
Got some Jack's links. There's a nice pork shoulder for you.
Dave, these are just little smokies you made in your triple crock pot.
They're being exiled in front of our eyes to the point where these kids are almost, those two kids, they're almost sympathetic figures to me now. Like, I feel bad for them.
If LaMelo was not a legitimate college prospect, I would be willing to play along here. Or if they only sent LiAngelo, I'd be willing to play along. But LaMelo had a chance to have the type of hype that Lonzo had.
Sure.
And if you're sending him off to Lithuania to exile him, that's not what he's doing.
He's not exiling him?
No. I think what happened is they said, we're going to get you guys paid to play. We're big ballers. We're going to go overseas. And they thought their phone was going to be ringing off the hook. It was not, because LaMelo is 16 years old and LiAngelo is not good at basketball. And the only people who would give them money, or the people who would give them the most money, was this team in Lithuania.
You couldn't have gotten a G League team to sign them.
No chance. Zero chance.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me why.
Because LiAngelo's bad at basketball and LaMelo is 16 years old.
I understand that. Well, actually, that brings up a question. Honest question. Could he sign at 16 with the G League team?
I don't think so. I think the one-and-done rule applies. Yeah. There's an age rule, right?
Because if I'm a G League team, I'm signing these guys. I'm signing them, absolutely. I'm signing them. They're going to be the highest paid players on that team because I know I'm going to sell a ton of tickets.
Well, they cannot be signed yet. LiAngelo is not eligible to be signed.
Because he's 16.
No, he hasn't played a year in college, a freshman in college.
And those rules, the same rules apply in the G League. I mean, I'm asking honestly. I would assume that.
Okay. Or else you'd have teams signing Marvin Bagley before he got to Duke.
What, G League teams?
Yes.
Well, no, Marvin Bagley would have to be okay with that. Marvin Bagley would have to say, okay, I'm not going to Duke. I'm not going that road. I'm going to go to the G League first.
And we can't really do that.
We don't have any top prospects doing that yet.
I know what you're saying. You think if the Reno Bighorns rang up Marvin Bagley and said, hey, I know John Calipari just left. Or not John Calipari, but Mike Krzyzewski just left. We will give you $1 million to come play shooty baskets for us.
Shooty baskets is what Kyle just said.
Basket hoops. We'll give you $1 million to come play basketball for us.
Players must be 18 to play in the G League.
Right.
Players must be 18 to play in the G League. Now I'm trying to find out what the
and they have to play a year of college. That's what the one and done rule is for.
I understand that.
Or a year removed from high school or whatever it is.
The maximum salary you can make in the G League, $26,000. That's why. The 18 and that. $26,000?
That's more than you're making in a year.
I understand that, but it's not.
And you're playing professionally.
But it's not the same road.
And you get to pick if G League teams are assigned to NBA teams.
Yes.
So the Reno Bighorns go get Marvin Bagley. Do the Kings now have him now? Is he on the Kings? Or does he now go into the draft?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Because there's not one, because you can't do that.
It's not the one-and-done rule alone that's keeping these top prospects from going to the G League. We agree on that, do we not? It's also the 26. How many top prospects have foregone college to go play directly in the G League? Like, literally, one? None, right? I haven't heard of a single one.
No.
And not every prospect is 17 years old. There's plenty of 18-year-old prospects going to college.
Right, and my point is I think if they had the option, every top prospect would play professionally instead of playing for free.
Well, hold on a second. But 18-year-old prospects do have the option. It's what I'm saying. It's the money. There are plenty of freshmen top prospects that are 18 years old or older that are going into college. They're not all 17.
Right.
They have the option to go play in the G League. Do they not?
I don't think so.
Why not?
Because
you have to play a year of college?
Yes.
Even if you're over 18?
Yes.
That's stupid. And I don't necessarily know that I agree that a guy would go straight to the G League and forego college. Dave, would you buy a ticket to see the Balls play in the G League? No. That's me, though. But you're telling me if the Reno Bighorns signed those two Balls, you tell me their attendance wouldn't jack up a little bit? You tell me they wouldn't sell a few more jerseys? Do you honestly think it wouldn't be carried on national television? At least their first game is what I'm saying. There wouldn't be more media exposure.
And honestly, I don't think they would play in the G League. I think they would ride a bench.
So we're saying that in the entire world, Lithuania was the best thing they could come up with. We're saying in the entire world, Lithuania was the biggest and best option at $500 a month.
Yes.
I could not disagree. You really believe that? You really think that there's not a league in Europe, in China, hell, in Australia, South America, that isn't going to say, and Kyle, I'm not arguing with you on how good they are.
And they were also, you got to keep in mind, they wanted money.
Sure.
And they wanted a team that played a free-flowing style of offense that was going to let LaMelo and LiAngelo do their thing. And they wanted a team that was willing to play them at the same time on the court together.
Let's go with your middle one. Let's deal with number two first, which is they wanted a team that plays a free-flowing offense. You think LaVar Ball was doing his rehab? He was like, you know, that Lithuania team, they have that free-flowing offense. I really like their offense in front of their 1,500-person capacity gym. We're going there.
No, but I'm guessing their agent knows scouts and stuff who...
And that's who they picked.
Yes.
Number one. Okay. Number two.
And part of who would pick them, but
Number two, they wanted money. They're getting $500 a month. So that didn't work out. And then I don't remember what your number three was. I'm saying, that would play them both together, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I am hard-pressed to believe in the world of minor league basketball. With the amount of media coverage the Balls get everywhere. I have never seen. With the amount of coverage they get. That you're telling me that the only team in the world that made sense that was willing to sign these guys, even if they both sucked, they'll make their salaries back in a week based on attendance, jerseys, advertising, TV. That you're telling me that Lithuania went in front of 1,500 people for $500 a month, being coached by a coach that doesn't speak English and sells you meat out of his trunk. You're telling me LaVar Ball was like, this is what's best for my kids.
Yes.
You, my friend, did not get enough sleep last night. Your head is filled with porgs and other Star Wars things.
That's accurate. That's very accurate. Are you a conspiracy? You're a conspiracy theory guy.
I am not.
You are dialed in. You think there was a second shooter.
Brother, there was one shooter.
There is no moon landing.
We landed on the moon. Earth is round. I don't know. I have this weird connection with LaVar Ball mentally. I don't know what it is. I'm telling you, I've got him figured out. I've had him figured out from day one. He's exiling his kids. He's sending the two Balls to Lithuania. and we're okay with it. I mean, of course I'm okay with it.
I'm so upset Sean Salisbury couldn't come on today. I thought I got into this with you because I thought in 1 minute you're going to be like, hey, Sean's ready.
Yeah, right? No Sean.
And we ended up having to take this. We ended up taking this through the whole segment. I'm so heated.
Listen, I'll apologize on behalf of Sean. And honestly, we'll let you know. Sean is the most punctual, non-flaky dude there is. In fact, I think at one point this year, he actually did his spot with us early because he had nerve surgery in his neck. Like, Sean doesn't miss stuff. So I do hope everything's okay with Sean. And we'll update you guys as soon as possible.
I think can we hash this out on air right now?
Yes.
We got a couple minutes left.
Yes.
Can we make a thing?
Uh-huh.
A deal, a pact.
Yeah.
That no Balls get talked about on the show next week.
You're telling me that you want next week to be a ball-free show.
I would like no Balls next week.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying without trying to be 8 years old here. I'm saying that we have a man who is exiling his children to Lithuania in the middle of winter.
Unless LaVar comes out and says, yeah, I exiled my kids. Then we can talk about it. Yeah, I did it.
I mean, dude, we're all letting this happen, and everyone's just like, oh, the little Balls are going to Lithuania. It's cool. It's cool. Hey, LeBron played the big ball yesterday. That was fun. Let's talk about them pulling their jerseys over. These children got taken out of school and sent to Lithuania in January because they're not as good as their older brother to play for $500 a month for a coach that sells meat out of his truck.
Once they go to Lithuania, you're going to go to the Big Baller Brand website and there's just going to be no evidence of either child. Like, hey, what happened to LiAngelo and LaMelo? Who?
It's,
who's that?
Who? Like, who? I mean, again, and I want to pause because we're having fun here, and I hope she's healthy and all that. I know that their mother, Tina, has had health issues, and I, of course, that's not funny at all. I hope she's healthy enough now. Like, at least send their mom. At least send a mom with them. One parent to Lithuania in January.
They're just giving them $20 and an iPod, and they're like, go have fun.
That's what I'm talking about, dude. You've got these two balls in Lithuania in January. What are they going to do? Play video games. Meanwhile, Dad sit in front row at Madison Square Garden, talking back and forth with Spike Lee.
Kids were there, the ones he's exiling.
No, I know.
Or was that like a final gift?
This was their goodbye tour. This is he's parading them. Goodbye, kids.
We got to go.
We hope to see you someday soon. Fake it till you make it.
I'm exiling this segment to Lithuania.
My favorite part of this whole segment, honestly, is you're like, no, dude, honestly, I think that's the right move for them.
You're like, they're being exiled. I'm like, well, actually, Dave.
Actually, Dave, no, actually, you know what? They had a free. Have you seen their offense?
It's a combination of the Princeton and the Triangle. And I think it's really going to benefit LiAngelo's little postgame.
You imagine how he broke it to his kids. Guys, listen. I know you wanted to go to sunny UCLA and get laid like 50 times a week and drive around in your Lamborghini and Jello or Mello or the other one. Like, same with you. You know, dude, check it out. Have you heard of Lithuania? It's amazing. You're going to love it. You're going to love Lithuania, kids. It's they've got super fun things to do, like sit
and... There's no video of their offense, but they've got these Polaroids.
They're show. He's got an overhead projector that he's running the offense off of. Oh. And if you ever need meat, you can buy it from your coach's trunk. Big baller brand.
Do you think their salary, $500 a month, includes the meats? Or will they have to... purchase meats out of
meat sold separately. That's in the contract. I'm starting to think LeVar didn't want his kid bailed out of China. He was actually disappointed. He had half the problem solved.
Lithuania, we have the meats.
You're going from jail in China. That didn't work. You're going to Lithuania. You're going to Lithuania. Ugh.
We had to break 5 minutes ago.
We're gone. Dave Richards next on The Drive. More Star Wars to give away this hour. Don't go away. It's Sports 1140 KHK. You're crazy, Kyle.